You know, when we run for eternal gold, we work to align everything in our life around that prize. I think I've told some of you the story before. In 1995, Aaron and I met on a stateside summer project in Ocean City, New Jersey, with Campus Crusade for Christ. And it was a great time and experience there. And I met her early on in project while we were there. And I decided right away that I liked her, and I liked her. I liked her a lot. Yeah. And I decided that I was going to make her my prize. She was going to be the gold medal. I mean, I was going in this thing to win, baby. You know what I'm talking about? And so I asked her out on dates. Come on, guys, what do we do? I asked her out on dates. I bought her flowers. I sacrificed my time with the buds. I called her while I was at work. I visited her while she was at work. I aligned all of my resources. And when you're in college, that's not a lot. But I aligned all of my resources around what? Around her and getting to know her, because I was pouring my life into her, and she was important, and I knew that there's something special here. And in the end, guess what? We won. I won big time. And I got that prize, and I won the victory. We got married, and she's a part of my life now. And that's a great analogy for how we tackle life, isn't it, sometimes? And whether it's a relationship or our job or our family, we work hard to align our resources around those things that we think are important. And maybe we can think about those things today as achieving victory or winning the gold, like achieving victory with our children or our kids. A lot of them are going off to school, as we just prayed for them. And so right now we're aligning our time and our resources and our schedules, right? We're not going to get to keep the same old summer schedule anymore. We got to go back to the school schedule. We're aligning all of our resources and time around making sure that they have an incredible school experience. How about work? If we're going for the promotion or we're going for the raise, what do? We put a little bit extra time in at the workplace. We take a little bit of work home with us. We tell the boss we'll do whatever it takes. And what do? We start aligning ourselves and everything that we have around that goal in order to achieve that bonus or that step up in work. Or what about school? What about our grades? What do? We sacrifice watching television, some of us. We sacrifice hanging out with the friends or doing whatever it is we want to do, so we do more of what? Studying, opening up the books, writing the term paper. That takes sacrifice, and so we align all of our resources and all that we are around being a student. Well, today God wants to share with us how He calls us and how we can align all of our resources and our entire life around not just this earthly gold moment, but this eternal gold. Because you see, the Christian life is about going for eternal gold. Here's what's mesmerized me. Is all the glory and all the excitement and all the power and passion around all these athletes these past 2 weeks that have won gold or even silver or bronze, and the glory and the wonderment and the excitement about that, and to realize that that all pales in comparison to the thing that you and I have a perfect opportunity of achieving in our life. You see, everyone has a chance to go for eternal gold, and it's something that surpasses and far outweighs anything that we could achieve or win here on this earth. Paul describes it like this in 1 Corinthians. He says, "Remember that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you will win." That's key for us today. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for what? An eternal prize. Here's how Paul runs his race. "So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I'm not like a boxer who misses his punches. I discipline my body like an athlete trains, like an athlete training it to do what it should." You see, winning excites us. I mean, we like to win. There's not a single person in this room that would say, "Hey, I don't want gold. Hey, I don't want to win the lottery. Hey, I don't want to win that gift. Hey, I don't want to win this prize. Hey, I didn't want to win my wife Erin in his hand in marriage." I mean, we all want to win. We all want to achieve victory at some point in time. I mean, winning is kind of cool to us. We like it. And a matter of fact, it influences how we feel about our day, whether good or bad. I mean, I can't tell you how many times a Buckeye victory has made my day great and a Buckeye loss has made my day lousy. Or how I've had a bad week because the Lions stunk it up on Sunday again. Or I've had a bad year because the Cubs just can't figure out how to win the World Series within the last 100 years. I mean, victories and winning is important to us, even in that small and silly and simple way. But think about this, parents. How many times, or kids, how many times we've gone to the cereal aisle in the grocery store, and we've picked the cereal not based on how good the cereal is or what it tastes like, but we picked the cereal because there's a picture on the box of what inside? The prize. Or how many of us buy this little snack treat with the sailor on the front, I think, and he's got this little tilted cap, and it says Cracker Jacks on the outside of the box, and I let everybody else eat the Cracker Jacks so I can get the prize, that little tattoo, you know, those little tattoos you get. Cracker Jacks started the portable tattoo thing, I'm telling you right now. Now it's everywhere, but we get it to get the prize. And I remember my brother and I used to fight over the box of cereal to the point where we just tore it all up and the cereal was everywhere so we could be the first person to dive into that thing and to get whatever piece of garbage or cheap piece of plastic was in there. Why? Because we had the prize. How about the Christmas Story movie where the dad wins a major award? He says, "I won a major award." What is it? He doesn't know. Maybe it's a bowling alley, he says. And how does a bowling alley show up in a box in their room? And so he dives right in, and it turns out to be some lady's leg with a stocking on it. And he doesn't even know what it is. He's just so excited about it because not of what it is, but because it's a what? It's a prize. It's a major award. I won. And so proudly he takes it to where? The front window in the house. He plugs it into his wife's disdain. He walks outside to take all the glory in. And his neighbor asks him, he says, "What is that?" And his response still is not a lady's leg lamp, but it's a major award. I won that. It doesn't matter whether it's the ugliest, most hideous thing in the whole world. It's a major award. It doesn't matter if it's from Italy and it says Fragile on the side of the box. It's a major award. He won. We like to win. So what is it that we're after in our life? What is the earthly gold? What is the prize that we find ourselves running after? Or do we find ourselves aligning our resources in our life around this eternal gold that God is promising us through Paul? You see, God has a prize and a victory for us that is far greater than anything we could achieve here. See, earthly gold is conjured up from humanity. That's exactly why it's called earthly gold. That's why it's called this physical gold that we have here on earth, because it's limited and it doesn't last beyond this experience. And there are certain things and certain prizes we win here on earth that are absolutely disappointing, that aren't all that they're cracked up to be. I mean, how many of us have ever thrown away an envelope that says on the outside of it, "You've won $1 million if you open this thing"? I mean, we don't even open those anymore, do we? I mean, we just put them right in the trash. And it says you've won $1 million. How many of you get pop-ups while you're on the internet that says, "Hey, you've won the new 3G iPhone"? And then you click on it only to discover they want your social security number, your 4 email addresses, and you have to agree to spend $1,000 in 6 places in the next month. We don't even open those things anymore. Why? So there's even skepticism around the things that we can win on this earth. I mean, how many of us have really ever won something? And when someone does, it's like a big deal. We share it with somebody, and some of us will say, "Well, I don't think I've ever really won anything of any significance." But the truth is, God has a victory for us that hopefully many of us have our hands around, and maybe some of us don't. And so we're glad that you're here today. You see, the eternal prize is far different from the earthly prize because it comes from God, our Creator and Maker. This is the guy that created the universe. He created your life. He created this earth. And so it doesn't fade away. It's guaranteed and it lasts forever. I mean, this is the guy that can back up what he says. In 2 Timothy, Paul relates to it like this: "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." Watch this. "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness." He's describing this earthly, eternal gold. "This crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing." So first of all, this crown is not only available to Paul, but to anybody who wants to be a part of this experience. Secondly, he describes what this eternal prize is, what this eternal gold is. He says it is the righteousness of Christ. It is God's righteousness in his life. What does that mean? It means to have a clear conscience. It means to have feelings that I am aligned with God and that in God's eyes I have been made right by Jesus. It means that I have taken on more of God's holiness in my life and I have let God cleanse me of more of my sin in my life. It means I am growing to a perfect work of Christ in my life. And that's what Paul is celebrating here. The eternal prize, the eternal glory. Paul's saying here, "Hey, I've finished the race. I've won the prize. This is the eternal gold. This is the victory. Hey, I didn't coast through life. I didn't coast through life. I worked every day to give more and more of my life over to God." And he's going to tell us how he did that. Because he says in that scripture verse back in Corinthians, you have to run in such a way as to get the prize. You have to dive in such a way as to get the gold. You have to play basketball in such a way as to get the gold. You have to run the 100-meter hurdles in such a way as to get the gold. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Not everybody who ran in the 4x400 relay won a gold medal. So there is a specific way. There are certain things that we need in our life to continue to grow closer to God once we've made that commitment to win the victory and to experience God's full participation in our life. And the first one Paul gives us is to run with purpose. To run with purpose simply means to be able to answer the question, why am I running? If you talk to a marathon runner and they're in the 15th mile and you say to them, well, why are you continuing to run? And they don't have an answer to that, what are they going to do? They're going to stop. Why keep going? In other words, if we don't have a purpose, if we don't have a goal that's out there, so hopefully the marathon runner says, well, there's gold at the end of that finish line up there, and I'm going to keep running towards that until I'm done. That's what keeps them going. There's purpose for them. We have to run with purpose. He said in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, so I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. Hey, if I'm running for gold, that gives me a reason. That gives me meaning to each step. And I'm going to get closer and closer every time I put one foot in front of the other. And that's why I continue to do that, so I can win gold someday. And so for you and for me, we have to figure out what is the reason for our life. Why are we here? What's the purpose of our life? Because if I can answer that question, then I'm going to be able to align everything around that and have purpose in every step. But sadly, a lot of us are like Forrest Gump. We just start running and we don't know why. Is that the answer to the question for our life when people ask us what our purpose is, why we're doing what we're doing, is that, well, I just felt like running? Do we have an answer to that question? Do we know why we're running? Do we know why we put one foot in front of the other? Do we have purpose with every step? Because when you establish purpose, you begin to align everything in your life around it. About a month ago, we had a counseling appointment set up on a Friday, and Friday's my family day off. And I spent it with my family, and I was looking forward to just hanging out with the kids and going to the park or something and playing. And Aaron said, we got this counseling appointment we need to go to. And Aaron and I were going to meet together to talk about our children and parenting and relationships and just the whole thing. And I've already told you before, it's the crazy people that aren't in counseling. It's not the ones that are in counseling. So everybody needs to sit before a third party at some point in time. So we're working through some issues in our life. And so I said to Aaron, I said, you know, I don't want to go to this thing. I mean, it's you know, I want to go have fun with the kids, and I just don't feel like going. And I said, I don't think I want to go. And so that Friday, while we're sitting there in the counseling office, and we're having this meeting, I'm realizing that under no uncertain terms that Aaron was influential in getting me there, and I realized that if I want to have victory with my kids and our behavioral issues, if I want to have victory in my relationships in my family, then I have to start aligning everything in my life around that. Even the difficult moments, even the struggles, even the moments where I've got a different idea of what I want to do because I'm running with purpose. You see, the goal there is victory with my kids, victory with my family. And so I need to make choices in my life, new choices, to align myself into that process and to run into that moment. I mean, we align ourselves with things all the time. What's your next step? Maybe for some of you, it's to just even begin the race and to accept Christ into your life for the very first time and to ask for His forgiveness and to begin that process. And that just starts with a prayer, and I'd love to do that with any of you at the end of worship if that's where you're at. Maybe for you, it's just getting back on track. Maybe you've made a commitment to Christ and you find yourself wavering to the left or to the right, or you've gotten off track. Maybe God wants to bring you back and do a new thing. And so in this place, you need some healing or some forgiveness or a realignment with God. And God wants to do that new thing in you and through you and with you. Wherever you're at in that race, we're all at a different place. We have a next move, though. We have an action step we can take. We have a healthier choice that we can make, and we can be more in tune with what God is doing. Maybe it means getting involved in worship more often with God. Maybe it means making some sacrifices with God. Maybe it means opening up God's Word more often or praying, whatever that step is for you, or that new choice or that decision. You see, we have to run with purpose, and we have to make sure that we have no wasted steps. No wasted steps. You see, every moment and every step counts. We have to, per se, land our punches. We have to make every step count. We have to make every punch count. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. He says, I am not like a boxer who misses his punches. Where's my water here? I'm not like a boxer who misses his punches. Because if you're a boxer or you're an MMA or whatever your latest deal is, if you miss a punch or you throw a hard punch, that takes a lot of energy and you've wasted that punch. And so boxers concentrate on landing their punches, because every time they swing and they don't land their punch, they lose energy and in the end could wind up losing. And runners are the same way. You don't see any marathon runners taking a break on the side of the road. You don't see them stopping for a while to catch a breath. You don't even see them stopping to get a drink. I mean, they get the drinks on the road. They get the banana on the road. They get that boost on the road. They keep moving forward. And sometimes we're kind of like the tortoise and the hare. Remember the tortoise and the hare? Where we're kind of like this rabbit who's running through life and thinks, hey, we got this problem, no victory, no problem. I'm just going to coast. In fact, I'm just going to take a break. I'm going to stop running this race. I'm going to hang out on the side, and I'm still going to be just fine. And in the end, he winds up losing. Not because he didn't have the ability to win, but because the choices he made eliminated him from winning. And every single one of us has a chance to win. We have an opportunity to achieve victory in Jesus. But we have to focus on the steps that we're taking and making sure that we're not wasting away in our life, wasting away with the things that we've been given, wasting away with the opportunities that we have, that we're aligning everything that we have and everything that we are with God. Yeah, life is short. I mean, you've heard that before. We have one chance to get this thing right here on earth. Now, the good news for you and for me is there's grace. We can decide to start today and do something new with our life, and God will join us there. As soon as we open up our hearts, as soon as we come back to that moment, God will walk this path of victory with us. But we have to choose that moment. So we have to live with no wasted steps. James tells us, he says, hey, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow with your life. What is your life? You're simply a mist that appears for a little while, and soon you may vanish. And so we always do things in our life like putting things off or ignoring something today that we can do tomorrow. And we wind up finding ourselves in a place that we didn't really want to be and we knew we could be a year ago, a week ago, a month ago, whatever it is, because we constantly put off the healthy choices that we need to make. It's my sophomore year in college and at The Ohio State University. And I just decided that I was going to do what I wanted to do, and I didn't feel like studying, and I was just going to take the week off from classes. And I took class off on Monday and watched, you know, TV and went to lunch three times and hung out with my buddies and went shopping. And then I thought, this is fun. I'll just take Tuesday off. And then Tuesday became Wednesday, and Wednesday became Thursday. And by the end of the week, I hadn't gone to class at all. And I figured, I'm good. I'll just pick it right back up on Monday. I'll study hard. I'll cram for that exam. I'll get that term paper done. I was hurting. By the end of that quarter. In fact, I pretty much almost failed all three of my classes. I flunked one class, got a D in another, and a C minus by the skin of my teeth in another class. It was a terrible time in my life. And it wasn't because I didn't have the ability to get good grades or to win. It was because of the choices that I made that negated me from the chance to achieve victory. You see, it's all about our choices. It's about not wasting any steps. And then thirdly and finally, it's about training our body to obey. You see, in that moment, I was letting my body tell me what to do. I was tired. I wanted to hang out. I wanted to goof off. I wanted to kind of do what I wanted to do. I wanted to live into the flesh for a little bit. And so I listened to my body. Body, that sounds like a good idea. Earthly body, that sounds great. I don't think I'm going to do the great choices and decisions that God will want me to do. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. And so we have to train our bodies to obey God's Spirit in our life. You ever heard the concept that the mind is willing but the body is not able? Every Olympic marathon runner, any long-distance runner will tell you, anybody that has to endure pain, football player, wrestler, basketball player, where you have to work through the difficulties and the struggles, will tell you that without training, you would never make it into that moment. Without training your body to go beyond its capacity, you'll never achieve victory. And Paul realizes that in Corinthians. He says, hey, listen, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. He's talking about the spiritual world here. He's talking about a relationship with God. He says, I train my body to follow this path of eternal gold. I make my body do what it's supposed to. I don't let my body tell me what I'm supposed to do. I mean, you think about the great athletes out there like Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut. You know, these guys, you know who these guys are? They're famous. Hot dog eating contest on July 4th. I mean, these are athletes. World-class athletes. I mean, any guy that can shove 65 Nathan's Famous hot dogs down his gut in 10 minutes is an athlete in my book. I mean, come on now. And he will tell you, come the 35th hot dog, his stomach is not ready to receive more hot dogs. So what does he do? Does he quit like any normal human being would? Anybody who has a sane brain? Well, no. He has trained his body to go beyond its capacity and to receive 35 more hot dogs of the same size. Now, these aren't these little wieners you buy in the store. I mean, Nathan's Famous. I mean, these are huge hot dogs, 60 of these hot dogs. It's unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. I mean, he is an athlete. And he will tell you, I'm telling you, it's going to be Olympic sport one of these days, competitive eating. You watch. I mean, everything. what is that? I was watching twirling the other day, or some kind of hula hooping is even. Did you see this? There's a hula hooping is an Olympic sport. Well, competitive eating ought to be too. That's what I say. But anyways, any athlete or any coach will tell their athlete that when they're in the heat of battle, what do? Rely on your training. You hear that term all the time in sports. Well, just rely on your training. Think back to your training. And it's the training that sets us up for victory. It's what separates world-class athletes like Joey Chestnut from you and from me. It's a new mindset. It's an attitude. And it's also what separates those who walk with Jesus and those who don't and those who are lukewarm with God. You see, in Romans, Paul says this, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't let your body lead you, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let your mind guide your body in Jesus Christ. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will." You need a new attitude, and we need to make our body go beyond the normal human nature and fleshly nature and live out this relationship with God. That means training our bodies to follow Christ, not the patterns of this world. That takes work. That doesn't just happen overnight. It means repetition of patterns and habits and disciplines and behaviors and this molding and shaping and allowing God to do that new thing. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, it says, Paul said, all athletes practice strict self-control. He kind of says that matter-of-factly. He says, well, all athletes practice strict self-control, like that's something that we should realize for our own life. Yet it's a struggle for us to practice that self-control. I mean, athletes, they work out, they have routines, they have exercises, they lift weights, they eat right. They do all of that for what? To win gold, to go for gold. And they do that so that they can reprogram their mind over their body, so that their body can handle the adversity and go the distance. You see, it's an athlete that controls their body. They don't let their body control them. That's discipline. And discipline for you and for me means letting Christ lead us, not our bodies, not our flesh, not our greed, not our lust, not our insecurity, not whatever it is that's there. It's letting Christ control us. It's self-control. It's Christ control. And we develop these disciplines, habits, and behaviors that allow us to train our bodies to do what? To run the race for victory in Jesus Christ. Sisters and brothers, you and I are destined to win. We're destined to win. We're destined for all the blessings and glory of heaven here on earth in our life. And it's up to us. It's about the choices we make. Paul says, run in such a way as to win the prize. So let's do that together. Let's think about those new disciplines and habits that we can have in our life. Learning how to pray more with God. Learning how to hear His voice more. Learning how to open up Scripture. How to get involved in worship more. How to give more. How to serve more. All these habits and disciplines and training regimens that we can have in our life to achieve this eternal victory. So that when you hit the wall in life, when you feel like you can't go on, when the pain is too great, you can have a friend lean over to you and just say, hey, just let your training kick in. Just let that joy kick in. Just let that peace of Christ kick in. You know what that is. You've been praying. You've been reading your Scripture. You've been in a small group with folk. Here, we're going to lift you up. You've been coming to church. You understand this relationship with God. Let that lift you up. Let that be your strength to take you through this. Run in such a way to win. Run in such a way that we realize the steps that we need to take. That there's a certain way that God calls us to live to achieve victory. What is your next step towards that victory? I mean, we all have one. We're all at different places and stages. Some of us need to take that first step and begin the race of life with Christ. Some of us need to get back in line with Christ. Some of us are running pretty well with Christ, but we're kind of stagnant and stale and we haven't taken that new step. Where is it that we're ready to take that next step that'll get us one step closer to this eternal gold that God has for us? I want to invite the band to come on up. I think we have a closing song, if I'm not mistaken. Does that sound right? You might be the band. All right. And I'm going to run through these action steps with you as we prepare ourselves for our last song here. The first one is this. Choose Christ and develop spiritual disciplines and new habits. So some of you need to make a choice for Jesus for the very first time. Invite Him into your life. And then for some of you, you're in the process right now trying to develop some spiritual disciplines, some training, some new habits in your life. Do that. Secondly, find a place to serve. I think serving people in places and in the church is something that aligns us with God. I wrote the Back to School Bash down here. That was yesterday. But there are opportunities to serve. We're going to be spreading some mulch at 6 o'clock here tonight, and we need some help with that. Bring your pitchforks and your... Now, we're not... It sounds like we're putting a mob together to go get somebody. You know, bring your pitchforks, your rakes, your shovels. We're going to move some mulch together, okay? And And I'd love to have you come out and do that. You know, find a place to serve in a local church. And that just always aligns my heart right with God when I do that. Thirdly, commit yourself to a group of people for growth. Find a small group to get involved with when we encourage you to do that for 6 weeks. Just a 6-week commitment starting in the middle of September. There's going to be all kinds of small groups out there. I'm going to be leading one. A couple of you in here are going to be leading one. And it's going to be a great chance for us to form some new habits so that we continue on this line to victory. Let's sing this last song as we continue to think about the victory that God wants to win in our life. Why don't we stand for that? I hope as you go this week and as you've experienced the Olympics this month to realize that there's gold out there and there's a lot of cool things that God has given us to chase after in this life. My prayer for you is that you'll discover an eternal gold, that everything we do in this life can be aligned around something that will last forever, beyond our struggles, beyond our issues, beyond even our greatest joys here on earth, a life destined to live forever with God. Go this week and live victoriously, because that's the promise that God gives you. Have a great week. God bless. Amen.